19 to 41, and you can find that in the backs of your seats on page, the Bible in the backs of your seats, on 1093. Peter addresses the crowd. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of light. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will rest in hope. I think I've already read that page, sorry. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brother, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to that number, their number that day.
Different language, different times, different places. but were quite profound to the hearers of the time.
And we're going to be thinking about that. And I want you to just think about what was the most memorable speech or preach that you have ever heard. Can you try and remember that, an example of that? Just have a quick chat with your neighbour about what that might be. Chat. Okay, well, perhaps you've dragged out of your memory those particular occasions, those speeches you might have heard. They might have been motivational. I remember one particularly at work, and this was a chap called Chris Duffy. I don't think he's very famous, but he was a customer service guru. And I went to a lecture, and it set me on fire about being passionate about customer service. Strange, but true. And he was just so passionate and convinced that I bought his book. It's signed as well. So it was a good money spinner. But he was so passionate about what he believed, and he had evidence to show what he'd done and helped various companies, that I was just convinced. But I'm sure there are speeches that have motivated you down through the years. There are those speakers that perhaps you've really tuned to, maybe followed, but you've listened to and it's just affected you. Sometimes it affects our lives, sometimes it affects our emotions, it can affect every part of us. So speeches are really key. And we just heard one this morning, Peter's speech, or preach. And it was so dramatic to the hearers that 3,000 were added to that small little church on that day. And that must have been really, really great. So this morning, I'm continuing the series we're doing in Acts and talking about how that small little Jewish community started and grew through the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And their commitment and their just their motivation coming out of Pentecost. That's such a dramatic event that affected their lives forever. And we've already, Alex has preached, Martha has preached, on the fact that the Holy Spirit is still blessing and baptizing people today. There is nothing more to wait for. It's happened. The Holy Spirit is here. And today I want to talk about seizing the moment. And we're going to look very carefully at Peter's sermon. So I'm not sure you can see that picture very well. It's up on that screen as well. But I like this picture because it just shows the artist there was looking at Peter making his speech. And you can see that he stands above the crowd. And I'm thinking, if 3,000 people were committed and converted that day to believe, they must have heard him and his disciples. When I was studying at Spurgeon's, I was fascinated with the way that Charles Spurgeon, who was a great Baptist preacher and leader and a founder, really, of baptism in this country, how he took, one time, the Alexander Palace. And he spoke to thousands and thousands of people. And it was a time before all this gadgetry, all the microphones and everything else. It was a time before megaphones, I think. But it was a time when his voice just boomed across and many, many people heard it. So Peter's on a platform there, as it were, or a wall. The thing that impresses me here as well, and we read that all the disciples stepped forward. It wasn't, who's going to say something, and, oh, Peter, you go and speak. But Peter was going to speak, but all the disciples went with him. And there's something about the commitment that we have one to each other. That when we're together, We have that that's a word I'm looking for, support, and that confidence that is generated out of being together. Another picture here shows Peter talking and preaching here. I like this one because, the picture shows a different people, and it shows someone that looks as though they're asleep, someone who looks as though they're actually bored, someone that looks as though they're distracted. So I'm looking amongst you already. No. Okay. But people, not everyone responded. Not everyone listened. Not everyone decided to take Peter seriously. There were those that were still thinking that here was a Peter, these disciples were drunk, he was a Galilean fisherman, so what's he doing here? Where's my priest? What's he doing here? But there were many, and we know 3,000 approximately heard him and were converted. So what was so effective about Peter's speech? And I just want a couple of introductory comments. One is he preached. Now, what about this word preach? A couple of things that we need to note. One is we're not all gifted with preaching. We're not all gifted and given the gift of preaching. It is a calling. And it's it comes out of an unbridled feeling and urgency that you must say something. You're under an obligation and an urgency that you must say something. And that happened to me when I was called in a Methodist church. And it was just this feeling that I need to cry out on God's behalf. I need to proclaim God's message. It may be that someone here today who's just got that feeling that maybe God is calling me, and God is calling me to preach. Maybe it's a feeling you've ignored and a feeling that you feel, I want to shrug away from this. This isn't for me. I don't have the gifts. I don't have the speaking ability, etc. But if you have got that urgency, if you've got that conviction inside that maybe you should be doing something with it, then please follow that up. See Alex or members of the leadership team. But it is a really wonderful gift, and it's a gift that can be developed. And I want to encourage you today. It may be that you see the potential in someone as well. And that might be the Holy Spirit prompting you. And it might be that you should mention that to that person. Because preaching is a wonderful cause. But I want to note as well that there are many, many more one-to-one conversations with single people, with just two or three people in the Bible than there are preaching. There are much more conversations and chats that are a multitude more than we have recorded speeches and preaches. And it's a sense that all Christians, we're all charged with sharing that gospel in some way. And there are things from this preach of Peter's that I think we can pick up. So there's some key lessons. So I've going to put up some verses. I'm not going to read them all because we've heard them, but you can read through them. But we need to start from where people are. I've got 6 points, but they're fairly quick, except one, last one. All right? I'll just prepare you for that. So we're going to start from where people are. We read in the preceding verse, verse 13, that these are drunk. These people have come out. You know, they're drunk. They've been talking strange languages. They're drunk. So the perception is here's Peter, for some, who's a drunk Galilean fisherman. He's known by some to have let Jesus down. So what is he doing here? What is he doing speaking to us? But here we have the disciples all together stepping forward. They knew they were speaking to an audience made up of Jews and Jewish residents. And we read that clearly. So it's already in Peter's mind, there are people here I need to relate to. I need to explain what's happened to us and what God is doing. So he started recognizing that these people are from the synagogue. These people are in Jerusalem. They know what's going on, and that's where I need to start. So the importance of being able to start where people are at, coming alongside people, relating to people, and just starting and where they're at is first one, the first thing that's so important. Secondly, Peter actually talks a lot from Scripture. He talks a lot from Old Testament. He talks from Joel. He speaks, refers to David's psalm. And words of prophecy that had meaning, particular meaning for the Jews at that time. And so he was using the Bible, the Scriptures, the Bible. So use the Bible appropriately, but use it. Now, the point I'm making here is we're long past, hopefully, the times of Bible bashing. There are some churches that still do that and are very quick to refer to Scriptures judgmentally, and not in a helpful way. We're past that time, hopefully, but we've perhaps gone the other way when people have ignored using God's word. We owe it to ourselves and we owe it to Jesus to read what he has said. God's word is alive, it's a two-edged sword, so the scripture tells us, and it cuts to the very quick. There are words that we read in the Bible that we can't express, but the Holy Spirit can use to pierce the hearts of individuals. So the onus on us is to be reading the Bible in whatever media that is, with whatever technology we have, even if it is a Bible in paper. But read it, get to know it, learn it, be familiar with it, that you can come out with perhaps a verse, something might relate or be helpful to someone, that you might be able to put in a card, that you might be able to put into an email, that you might just be able to mention to someone. So let's use the Bible. Let's not be afraid of it. God's word stands as it is. It is powerful, it is authoritative, and it's something we need to be practiced in using. So let's do that. Okay. And then Peter goes on to talk about what had happened. And he talks about Jesus. And that's fundamentally where we need to get to. Surveys for the Bible Society back a few years ago found that almost 3 in 10 young people were unaware that the story of the birth of Jesus came from the Bible. A similar number of children had never read or heard about tales of the crucifixion or Adam and Eve. Today, that's even worse. And if we think of children then that are growing to be parents, youth, and parents today, we can't make an assumption that people have heard things. And often when you start talking about Jesus and about his life, it comes as news. Strange but true. This is not something I'm familiar with. People nowadays, parents, have not gone to Sunday school. And so we need to not to make assumptions that we're starting from a position that we're at. Don't be afraid about talking about Jesus. It's surprising how many people are so receptive to talk about his life, his ministry, his love, his resurrection, and the future that he has. So don't be surprised if people don't know. They're starting from a different place. But be ready to talk about the story, the simple story of Jesus. And then Peter goes on to say, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exhorted. And he talks about the Holy Spirit being poured out, just as you see and hear today. Tell what you know about Jesus. Tell what you know about Jesus. Let's not go over the top. Let's be honest. Let's talk about warts and all. But testimony to the life of Jesus in us. People can see through us. We need to be authentic. Peter was authentic, and hence his power, the power of his words, came through by the Holy Spirit. Practice telling your story. Maybe a challenge, maybe for a house group one day, we ought to be talking about how we came to know Jesus, talking about what we know of Jesus in our lives. Let's not embellish it. Let's not say things that are not true, but let's just simply talk about why we're a Christian. What has Jesus done, and how have we met Jesus in our lives? We're not perfect, we're not there yet, but we have all had that encounter, whether dramatic or less dramatic. So it's so important for us to be able to practice telling the story of Jesus in our lives. Maybe we'll pick that up in house groups, George. It'd be one to follow through. Five, challenge people to repent, start afresh and trust Jesus Christ. Whoa, dear. Is that a step too far? Well, it's gone quiet, hasn't it? Yeah, maybe it is. How do we challenge people? How do we talk about repentance? How do we ask people to come and to know Jesus? There is a time and a place, but the sole purpose of preaching and sharing the good news is to invite people to come to Jesus. If we do everything else, where does that get us? We have to challenge all the time the Holy Spirit. Jesus was challenging his disciples gently, lovingly, but challenging them. Peter, and as we read in the Acts, it was all about challenge, lovingly, in relation to the people they met, but nonetheless, it was challenging people to see where they stood. So it's so important for us to do that. So how do we do that? We don't do that. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. It's the Holy Spirit that will lead us to that time, that opportunity, and maybe just to have that word to challenge. It could be there's someone here this morning. It could be there's someone here this morning that perhaps has never responded to that challenge. The challenge that God loves you. The challenge that God gave his son to die in your place. The challenge that God has got a purpose for your life. The challenge is that today that could start. That day you can move a step forward. Maybe for the first time. Maybe because you've backslidden. Things haven't been great and you've let things go. The challenge today is that God loves you. He wants to bring you back. He wants you to come on, experience all the things that he has got for you. I think about what if no one had challenged me in my life? Came alongside me or led me to Christ. I think of my grandma and her words, which I can't remember now, but I remember they had an impact. I remember a chap at a Billy Graham crusade who was a bit nervous himself, but nonetheless came alongside and helped me to understand and make a commitment to Jesus. If they'd not been there, I wouldn't be here. In all honesty, I don't think I'd be here. It's so important for us to be ready to challenge, to ask people. And if there's someone here this morning that knows they need to respond, you just know it, then I'll ask you to do so later on. I implore you to take that step. As Peter said, the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all. Peter's words pierced their hearts. Peter's words pierced their hearts. Those Peter's words were, of course, generated by the Holy Spirit. They had power because the Holy Spirit was with Peter. Can you imagine what it's like? Maybe your heart has been pierced. What does that mean? That could have been through a traumatic, emotional time when your heart was pierced. It could have been a sad time. Inevitably, Piercing means sharp, it means hard, it means sad. But they were convicted. And there's a time when we come in our Christian lives to a point where our hearts are pierced. We're convicted about something. We know something's not right and we need to get right. So Peter's words pierced their hearts. Timing is everything. Seize the moment. Think about those speech makers. Churchill, Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela. There's a whole load of others on there, which I'm not sure who they were. Spurgeon, Billy Graham, John Wesley. What if they had never spoken at that moment in time? It's all about that moment of time. If Churchill had not spoken as he did during wartime, morale would have dived. If Martin Luther King didn't take the challenge that he had there to speak on behalf of the Negro, that moment would have passed, that moment would have been lost. If Peter had not spoken as he did at that time after Pentecost, if he said, no, this is too much, I can't do this, I'm not a speaker, I can't do this. If he withdrew at that stage, what would have happened? God would have gone forward, but would have left Peter to the side. So the importance is speaking at the timely moment, that moment when it's most important. They seized the mood of the moment. They had authentic passion. And there is nothing more powerful in both preaching and in everyday one-to-one conversations that we have if someone is committed, if they're motivated, if they are powerful and authentic. We may not be Galilean fishermen, but whoever we are, the Holy Spirit can do incredible things today, even this day. We have a wonderful God who is still pouring his Spirit out. And that one small word, even today, that one action... Sorry, I'm being... I think... We have technology gone wild here. So, there might be just one small word, one action that we can take today that will move things forward, will help challenge, will bring people to Jesus. How about dusting down those kindness cards we're using Paracletus? I've still got one I haven't used yet, which is buy someone a coffee or pay their parking. I think something like that. I've not used it yet. Maybe the challenge for me today, well, maybe not today, but this week, I should be using that. If you're not familiar with kindness cards, then have a word afterwards. See George as well. But the idea of just taking one small step to come alongside people, to show love and to lead along a way of engagement that will eventually enable us to perhaps talk about Jesus. There are loads of things. I was just looking through the weekly bulletin. What have we got? We have got Women's Fellowship Anniversary. We have got a youth house group, Oasis Prayer Meeting. There's a breakfast club at Taylor's Chalk. There's Frogs for school years 2 to 6. We've got Hub for school years 6 to 8. Friends on Foot, yes, next Saturday. We've got DCF coach trip to Eastbourne. In the monthly bulletin, we've got about Fun Day, we've got about World Cup football. These are all opportunities to ask friends, ask family to come along and enjoy themselves, but come along on a path where we might be able to speak about Jesus as well. Let's keep those things in mind. Let's make use of those times. Seize the moment. Martha spoke a couple of weeks ago about the Holy Spirit bringing both wind and fire. And one key message that has come out of our Acts series so far, I think, is now is the time. Now is the time. It's not a time for hearing about what Acts is doing. We move on to the next series. It is a time for doing something about it. It's time now for the church to do something and to take action. Acts is about Acts then, it's also about Acts now, because Acts has not finished. It has not been fully written. There's no experience needed. Just be willing to be loved by Jesus and thereby filled with his Holy Spirit. He loves us so much. There is so much he has in store for us and for others. Many of us have got, perhaps one of the difficulties in this day and age is that as Christians, we might not have a lot of Christian friends. It might be that our engagement during the week with people are often with people, other Christians. Maybe we need to try and move out. We all have perhaps families, we have perhaps grandparents, we have grandchildren, we have youth, we have aunts and uncles, maybe family members that have not heard about Jesus. Maybe we should be praying more. Maybe we should be being prepared more to seize that moment with our families. Let's seize the moment. Be authentic and don't ignore the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we may lose the moment to make a difference in someone's life. That would be so tragic. I thank God that he forgives us, forgives me for lost opportunities, times when I've not stepped forward. So the challenge is for us, let's make the most of those God-given opportunities. Let's be prepared to be prompted by the Holy Spirit. You'll be, in verse 40 we read, "Then Peter continued preaching for a long time." I'm glad, you'll be glad to know that I'm just about finished. So, Mother Teresa said this, "Yesterday is gone, tomorrow has not yet come. We have only today. Let us begin." Let's pray. Father God, as we hear those words of Peter and how they resonated with the people that listen to him. Lord, we thank you for him. We thank you that he was only a fisherman, and yet he came to lead that early church so powerfully through your Holy Spirit. We thank you today that we're only ordinary people, and yet you have commissioned us. And we pray that we would seize the moment. Holy Spirit, we pray that if there are things in our lives, if there are things that we need to put right with other people, if there are things that need to be said with others, then please give us, Lord, the confidence and the bravery to step forward in your name, knowing that you, Lord God, are behind us. And we pray that our words will be of love, will be of love and challenge, and you would help us to use your word appropriately too. And we ask this in your name because we want to see this church grow. We want to see your church grow, Lord, your kingdom to expand, your kingdom to come. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen. There's a time now, as we've done over the last few weeks, for people just to come and share something of perhaps what Jesus has been doing in their lives during the week. It might be something you want to share with the church, something to encourage, something to share that is on your heart. So we're just going to have a few minutes of quiet now, but a time when, if you've got something and you need to know, you need to say it. It might be from the challenge of Peter's words today. You know there's something that needs to be said. Then please do come forward.
I just wanted to say that I was challenged by the first song we had this morning. What a powerful name it is. Sometimes I think We're challenged at home. We sort of pray and we think, yeah, we pray for this because God might want to answer, but we don't actually believe that God is that powerful and can change a situation which perhaps has been going on for a long time. God is powerful, and certainly that first hymn kept coming back to me. What a powerful name it is. God is a powerful person. He can change things. Why he doesn't sometimes, I don't know. But certainly that really sort of resounded with me. Thank you.